Evening, Joe.
Evening, Pat. How are you?
Very well, very well.
Happy hump day.
Happy hump day. It's Wednesday here, isn't it, to all our listeners out there?
Yeah.
And tuning in whatever time you are, but know that this is hump day, 8:30 p.m. We are giving it all we've got.
In the midst of it, yeah.
Yeah. It has just turned a little bit darker here as well. For all of you on the Northern Hemisphere, I know you're starting to get a bit excited about summer coming. We're pretty excited that we can start burning some wood that we've scrawled away over.
It does. It always freaks me out, though. Like, when you start to think about that, like, it's because obviously, like, I have lots of family in Canada and the UK, and they're all like, oh, it's getting a lot lighter. And then here, it's like, boof, the lights just go out, right? And I have such strong memories of that happening in Canada. It always happens just after Thanksgiving, and it's just like, you know, one day you're like, oh, this is great, you know. It's like you're getting a lot of what we call like Indian summers, which is kind of like this, you know, just beautiful kind of weather pattern for like 6 to 8 weeks, and then lights go out and they don't come back on until like March. And it feels the same here this year, because the temperature has really dropped out, and you know, it's just, but it's the light. It's the light that kind of it just amazes me how quickly it just disappears, and then it's dark, and then it's like you're like, oh, it's gonna be dark at 5 o'clock soon, right? It's that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's come and we speed it up. Same in Canada with the daylight savings. Did you run
that? Yeah. They go even earlier now, trying to claim back some daylight for the evening. So they've moved it a few times so that it starts a lot earlier in the year.
Right. I'm with you. Go for longer or just the same amount of time?
Yeah, so you go for longer with daylight savings. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So trying to bank that daylight.
Yeah. Maximize it the best you can. Fuck the cows and and the farmers. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was the sheep in New Zealand, but that's another pod.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think we should do it. I don't know why we do daylight savings. Really, I don't know why we do it. Why do we do it? So they seem to be okay up in Queensland. They just get up at 4 a.m. in the summer
and just get it done. Yeah. I think it depends on who you ask why you do it. I don't mind it, to be honest.
You like daylight savings?
Yeah. I think it gives it a nice feeling. Like, I'm a morning, I know you're a morning person way more than myself. So you feel like daylight's getting robbed when it's getting saved. But I feel like it adds a little bit to sort of that evening culture feel in summer. Like, it adds to that feeling when you're out and about or you're hanging out and it's a really nice summer evening. And it just, it gives it that's like, it's so psychological because you're always looking at the clock. And you're not going, you know, that's actually saving daylight. That's mechanical. You're like, oh, it's 9 o'clock, but it's still sunlight. It gives you that feel. And I think that's nice. So I'm not too fussed. And then you feel the depths of Mordor when it gets into winter and you just relax into that.
Yeah. And everyone gets a bad case of the grumps, right? It's just, I reckon this week is like the grumpiest week of the year in Eastern Australia for sure. Everyone's just got a case of the sads for sure, and just a bit of a Marty face walking around for sure.
Yeah, the blues are playing strong. and we've said this on the pod previously, but if you have something to get you out into it, I think it's the best case to cure the blues for sure. But
definitely, yeah. That was good. I took the dog for a massive walk up the hill and stuff this morning. It's good. You just got to get out. But you do, like it's good that the light's back in the morning at the moment. That's the one thing I will say for daylight savings, is that it's kind of, you know, at least the light's back. Yeah,
back in the morning, because it was pretty dark there for a while. But we know it's going to be dark soon. Yeah. So here we are, the sayonara, the slow goodbye to summer has all of a sudden come to a crashing close, and we are in Jon Snow's territory.
Yeah, and here's us whining about rain 2 weeks ago, and it literally hasn't stopped. So hasn't stopped raining since our little moan about our water tanks. We're overloaded.
Yeah, but I'm glad. Yeah, what timing, but... and those little shoots are just popping up like no tomorrow. But yeah, how is that replay last week, and just hear the relief. And now we're actually dead set soggy right now.
It's unreal. It's unreal. Yeah. Yeah. Like more rain, I think, like in 2 days, and we're supposed to get in like a, you know, in a 5 week period type of thing. So we're definitely sorted.
Yeah, rain tanks are sorted now. A couple more autumn days and we'll be laughing, but we'll see. But going into that, what's your hot take? What can get us warm?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, my hot take is just building out of last week when we were talking about kind of taking things a bit slowly. And I just wanted to expand on intention, because I think it's kind of, to me, it's one of those words that's been co-opted by yogis and kind of woo-woos to kind of mean that you put something out into the world and it just magically happens, right? Because you kind of manifest an intention. Whereas my take on intention is actually about having a plan and actually having an end game. It doesn't mean that you have to necessarily follow the exact path to get there. Oftentimes it doesn't, but it's about actually having a really clear picture for what you want to achieve. And I think a lot of what happens in life at the moment is that people's own sense of what they want to achieve becomes imprinted on them by things like social media, etc., rather than being something that they've actually generally thought about where they actually want to get to.
Mm. Well said. Yeah. Okay. So that intentionality, that step, I think consistency comes to mind with intentionality when you're mm-hmm. trying to, you know, forge that path to that vision, I think is key. Yeah. That's interesting. And then you're really digging in on that piece in unique intentionality, not in that imprinted bit, like what taking the time to really like create that vision, I think adds to be caught here with yoga babble is that magnetism that can happen in life is if you build a picture and figure out the steps to get there. I think that's an interesting one. What's your path like to there, just consistently showing up or just that plan? And have you ever landed in a spot then and the plan's gone exactly as
not at all. I mean, I think it's often I think it's kind of interesting, because I mean, obviously where we live at the moment, I think for us it was very much we moved here for something that is kind of leaving here at the moment. So like I think that kind of that I've been thinking about that quite a bit over the last few weeks, in that, mm-hmm. you know, kind of the intention that was really crystal clear, could see it. And it's been in yoga terms, manifested. It's kind of, you know, it's all come together because it was put out there. But I think often when you're working towards something, there's little moments where what you've actually been thinking about, you actually see it, right? And it almost feels something like what deja vu is right? Mm-hmm. Where people say like, oh, deja vu, I've been here before. But I think it's that something you've pictured is kind of like in your brain is actually triggered by the thing that you're actually seeing in the outside world. So you've seen it in some ways before it's actually happened. And it's those types of moments. I mean, I'm not sure if you get that when you're surfing. Like I get that when I'm surfing, where there's like certain sections of certain waves and certain kind of sensations you get that you feel like you felt before, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a very kind of grounding experience. But to answer your question, definitely you work towards things and you have a kind of broad kind of picture of what that looks like. But then I think it also helps you to understand when things are done, which is kind of like what I'm probably starting to process on my end as well, where it's kind of like that part of it is done and then what's next. And that's kind of like, I think an interesting part about intention is that, you know, you kind of, in a weird way, you have to set a new intention to get to a new intention. You actually have to say, my intention is to actually get to a new intention, which is probably like where I'm at the moment, like trying to actually figure some of that sort of stuff out, because one part of that kind of feels like it's basically done. Like it's been, you know, manifested. Yeah. I hate the word, but I can't think of a better one because it's 8:30 on hump day.
It's soggy. Man, that's really cool to hear you say that. I hit on a lot of that and have been feeling it in a big way. I remember making a fool of myself like post at a mate's box because I caught up with a friend I haven't seen for a very long time, and I said the word that made me want to choke myself the next day, saying we manifested this house where we've gone we had, and it was weird to say, but I didn't want to choke myself because I said it out loud to someone else. Felt like the biggest downward dog superstar. And
but it
was hilarious to then like think about that and then like process some of those moments. And it's what you're saying around the intention to find the new intention. There's this interesting moment when you get to something that you have worked on. There's a lot of this is like in life with profession goals. I was watching a clip on Nat Fyfe talk about Brownlow and then winning the Brownlow the second time and how empty that was. There's so many like pinnacle moments, like what are you actually trying to achieve? It sort of asks you that deeper question when you get to that space, which is awesome if you're open to it, but can send you in a bit of a spin.
Definitely. Yeah. I think it's like the most dangerous, like in some ways it's the most dangerous part, but I think maybe, I mean, I'm not a female or kind of non-binary, so I can't speak for that, but I think for men, it's a really dangerous time, right? Because it's actually like it's, you're trying to figure out kind of what's next, but really like how I try to work through that is really to rely on routine and to rely on the kind of stuff that I know I need to do and kind of just focus on that sort of stuff while you try to figure out the stuff in the background. So things like kind of like, you know, like exercise, walking, kind of, you know, doing stuff that actually kind of gives you space to let things, yeah, kind of unfold, I guess, a little bit in your mind. But when you don't have you have a fuzzy picture, right? That's the thing. Like that's kind of where I would say my head's at the moment. Like I still, you know, big believer in intention, but it's also that it's, you know, like they kind of, there's ebbs and flows in that as well, right? Throughout our life. But I do, I mean, what do you reckon? I think it's dangerous for men in a way not to have clear pictures of where they want to get to, right? Sometimes we have clear pictures that are probably unclear in their consequences, right? And that can be a bad thing too.
As dangerous.
Some moments are a bit unwieldy, really.
They are, but there's also beauty in them. That's where it was like nice to hear where you're talking to now. And I think it's maybe some piece that I've just noticed in myself, like where we are now and being like, because I was literally just having a conversation with my partner being like, there's at the moment where I am, there's like three clear paths that can happen. And it is this moment where I feel like there's the dust, life's force has just been thrown up in the air, and you have to just hold that awkwardness for a bit and feel that out and listen to it. And like what you were just saying, like feel where it is and what's going on. And I think when you're in that real fight to see that vision through or make those steps to there, you don't allow yourself that. And maybe nor should you when you really want to push for something. And there's something like really rewarding to do that. There's something I find so great because it's definitely so simple because you just like, I'm going to get there. No, come hell or high water, I'm going to pay the price. And the ones around me are probably going to pay the price too, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, no, for sure.
When it gets to this point, it's like if you can be brave to be a bit awkward in that moment, to be like, well, what is really going on and what I remember the classic potato chip taught me a valuable lesson, be careful what you wish for. And last podcast really taught us that with this rain. And it's so true. And it lives with me nearly every day I think of it. I remember just it's strong. Anyway, without going too deep into the packet of Lay's chips that taught me so many lessons as a little kid, to sit with that and figure out what where you really want to put that energy is a hard thing to do, especially when you've been putting the energy directly into something for a very, very long time. It's like, what is that and how do you move forward and get up and get the go to do that? But the deja vu piece is really cool and feeling that. In my life, I've been starting to feel that again and allowing to see that and starting to listen for those moments. And I'm like, and starting to like pull a thread into life again and being like, oh, that's interesting. And actually listening to myself and the space around there, which I hadn't for a while, I suppose, because I was too almost confronting for the new vision, I think.
Yep.
Which is interesting. I don't know if you have the same experiences.
Definitely. Yeah. Like I think it's part of it is, I guess it's in a, you're trying to tell yourself something that you already know. That's what I often think those things are. Right. So it's kind of, it's there. It's something you've done, and it's almost like it's trying to reconnect you with something. Right. So I often have it like surfing. I have it like in kind of certain situations. And I have it like doing stuff here, like around the house, like kind of something I've pictured and thought about, like particularly like, you know, obviously like we've changed everything on this piece of land that we have. There's nothing here that was the same when we moved here. Like there actually isn't a piece of anything that hasn't been turned over or changed since we've been here, fencing, land, everything. And you kind of, you look at it and you see these things, right, that you've kind of had in your head forever, and they kind of, you've seen them before, but what you're actually kind of, it's probably what you had in your head and what's actually now physically real around you, at least for that moment, are the same thing, right? And that's what I think is really, really cool, right? But then it's, once you achieve that, it's, achievement is very fleeting, right? And I think that's the big thing. Like you can't chase the next thing that's exactly the same as the last thing, right? And I think that's kind of what I mean by intention, is that you have to find a way to be like, okay, I've got to move on from this, which is a bit of grief. There's a bit of kind of like, oh, I thought this would, like the Nat Fife thing, I thought this would be better. I thought I was getting traded to Hawthorne and I'm still here at Fremantle. Like there's lots of things that, you know, kind of happen in life like that. But that's kind of what I'm trying to stress, is that it's about trying to find that new intention. It's not easy. It's not like you just sit there like, poof, I'm going to do the next thing. Like life is not like that. There is, it's like a fallow period before you kind of, you jump up again, but you kind of have to recognize that in yourself and let go of what was to kind of find what's new again.
Yeah, it's true. It's a hard, and like dig into that dangerous bit. Why do you think it's so dangerous for men, particularly, like what's,
yeah, well, I mean, I think it's because like goal orientation and a lot of your own, I guess, sense of self comes from that, right? So how you see yourself, I think for men in particular, is much more achievement orientated than perhaps, you know, it is for, I can just talk what I guess the male experience is, that those achievements and kind of like that pathway, that's a really strong part of identity, whereas you don't, you know, like the achievement is the achievement, right? And but when you're in those fallow periods, you tend to get into like comparison space, you know, and like you see it a lot. Like I think that's what a lot of, like, you know, what is called like a midlife crisis is, right? It's like going, oh god, I thought there'd be more to life than this. But actually when you really look around about it, I mean, I think about this a lot, like my life is so programmed, right? Like some days I just don't have room to move, right? It's just, but you have to accept that, right? And kind of actually that's the period of life I'm in, right? And so in the programming of, well, I get to spend a lot of time with my two daughters, you know, I get to work with really great people, you know, doing something that I broadly still really love, and but I do it every day, right? So that's the trade-off. But it's, I don't really want to get rid of it. You just have to accept the yoke. That's probably what I'm saying about the intention. You just have to go, yeah, this is the life I have at the moment, right? And find the meaning within it. Whereas I find a lot of men maybe are like, oh, I didn't realize that life would be this monotonous, right? And it's like, you know what? It is monotonous. Right? It's that sort of stuff, I mean. And they chase the wrong thing. They chase the sugar rather than actually trying to find the actual kind of, you know, the proper adrenaline hit through doing things correctly. Yeah.
Yeah. The sustenance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a hard spot, and like pull it back to where you're saying, I think I've been caught in the trap of, you know, chasing those short highs, whether it's certain wins or that, but yeah, focusing on, I suppose, on what really matters to you is a hard thing to really dial in.
Particularly today, right? I mean, that's what I was saying before. Like, it's, you know, everything, you know, everyone's living their best life on Instagram, right? You don't see many people like being self-reflective, being like, oh God, yeah, you know, I'm in a fallow period. You don't see that. That's not an influencer message you see a lot, right? And kind of, you know, that's the stuff I think that's very not real. It's unrealistic, but yet so many people, that's their point of comparison, right? To be like, oh God, they're doing this, they're doing that. And it's just, they're not. That's just what they're putting out there for peak experience. And if you did that to your own life, you'd probably find exactly the same moments, right? You just have to,
And we've spoken about that curated self of what you're putting out there. It's like selling yourself in a way, or a certain image of yourself. Yeah. But yeah, pairing it all back and getting into the nitty gritty of the awkwardness of, of re-envisaging where that is. It's so powerful when it hits. Sometimes it's scary when you know. Have you ever had those moments where you know almost what you should be doing, but you're a bit scared? And you're a bit, or you're like, oh my god, that's like involves a lot, and like that's huge. And the path there to write the steps, you know, when you line up an intention and you know, say there is an end goal or there is a real path, and then you write the plans down in your head and the steps. My dad calls it positive visualization, like write in as many steps as you can and figure out what's the best way to go around there. It's wild, but when you see that vision, it's happened a few times where you can like see the finish, and you stand in certain places and you get that deja vu, even though you haven't been there. Like you can almost see into the future. Like it could be just complete illusion, like delusionment, but it feels so real. And it's happened a few times where you're like, wow, that actually happened. That's crazy.
But that's such a part of stuff, right? And like, I think your dad's captured it. Like it is a positive visualization but you have to take the steps to one, make it positive, and also kind of realize your vision, right? That's the thing. Like, cause you can realize your vision, but with very negative consequences, right? In terms of actually where it lands, but to kind of keep that positive and to understand trade outs, that's all the stuff that is very difficult about staying on point. Cause it's actually, you know, it's relatively easy to be single-minded and chase a goal to all extremes. It's just, it's just one thing. That's what you focus on. But when you have to do that and balance out other stuff, that's where it gets quite difficult.
It does. That cost factor that comes into life in so many different ways, the trade outs, the impacts that it has. And when you're doing that sort of mental path out, what is the actual cost on chasing that, you know, to your family life, your personal life, your professional life, whatever life you've got.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, there's so much of it that lets you, I mean, obviously I'm older than you, but it's like, I mean, I had one of those moments on the weekends, like with my youngest, like took her ice skating, took both my girls ice skating. And so Maya, cause she doesn't really want to skate, but she wants to, but to go on these little like kangaroo, like seal things, you can push them around the ice. She has to wear a helmet. So then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to have to wear a helmet too. Right. So that she doesn't actually think it's abnormal to be out there with a helmet on. So I was just like, okay, you know, and I was like, but there's part of me that just wants to rebel against that and be like, what the fuck am I wearing a helmet going for like a little skate around the ice? But then, you know, you're like, I'm a dad. Right. So I've got to set the example. I've got to make her feel comfortable that this is just what you do, rather than her sitting there go, why am I the only one wearing a helmet when you and Ava aren't wearing one? So it was kind of, you know, there's little things like but the intention on that day was to actually get her to skate, right? So I wanted to get rid of all of the kind of barriers to that, right? And so like, I think old me would have been like, oh God, like I'm not wearing a bucket on my head ice skating because it's going to be embarrassing, it's going to be stupid, you know, all that sort of stuff. But really my intention was just to get her up on her skates, which I finally did. And that's, you know, that's kind of the thing I think you learn as you go through stuff, is that it's kind of like, you know, top line, it's that was the intention for that day. That's all that mattered. Everything else was just noise.
That's beautiful. Hearing you with a helmet on your head, that makes me smile, mate, inside and out.
Talking to a man who, like, you know, struggles to keep earmuffs on his head.
But I think that's where you get into that sustenance piece, where it's, you know, you've stripped it back from the sugary little delights that you know that you can go to that are, yeah, don't leave you with much growth or much, you know, space to feel something more. That's so cool. Yeah, that's a really nice way to say that.
It's just, it's like, it's,
and
it's,
I saw the video of her, and she was loving life.
Yeah,
I didn't see the video of you with the helmet, though. I would like to see that. But
yeah, but there are clips. Yeah, I don't think I sent you that one. There is one with the helmet on. It is pretty funny. I do look pretty ridiculous. But anyway. I
look good with the helmet.
Yeah.
It's your demeanor. You're a dangerous man. You should wear a helmet more often.
Probably should. Yeah, my tinfoil hat helmet.
Just shaking fists.
Yeah. Yeah, old man in tinfoil helmet. Shakes fist at clouds. Yeah.
It struck by lightning.
Yeah. For that, again, we might have to end it there, but that might be your intention. All right. Well, on that note, Patty, pleasure as always.
Pleasure is mine, Joey.